The reading is from Luke 2, 41 to 52. The boy Jesus at the temple. Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they didn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had been in my father's house?" But they didn't understand just what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and men.
Well, thanks to Kath and to James for leading us in the service. It's really great to hear more about Karen's work, and she sort of dismissed it as being boring, but it sounds like quite an important job, and I think an important role to have in the community. So we do pray for you in that. During this series, as James has said, we've been thinking about how and why we should pray for different areas of society. We've thought about family and business and government, media, and this week we're thinking about education. I haven't just chosen those things at random. Somebody asked me in the life group, you know, next week are we going to do underground workers? It's, well, no, these have come from Catching the Wave, which was the book that followed on from Try Praying. Which pushes the question a stage further back, why did they choose these things? And I would say because these perhaps form the core of culture. What is it that forms a nation? It's the way that it thinks, the way that it works out what it is as a people together. So family, business, government, media, education. And we'll be thinking about things like healthcare in weeks to come. Our reading this morning shows Jesus sitting among the teachers in the temple. He was there for 3 days asking questions. They got a real grilling, didn't they? I wonder what had hit them with this young lad. A bit like Wimbledon when a new player comes along, isn't it? And suddenly nobody quite knows how to handle it. Whilst Jesus was and is fully God, he wasn't born with the infinite knowledge of God pre-installed. We're told he emptied himself when he took on human form, and he had to learn just like the rest of us. So how did he know what questions to ask? Well, we're told that they visited the temple every year, and he's 12 years old, so he's been going for 12 years. But beyond that, he also learnt at home and in the local synagogue. It appears that he also learnt to listen to the Heavenly Father, and he was full of the Holy Spirit. It appears he was a quick learner and was already asking questions that amazed people. I'm always amazed by that passage when Mary speaks to Jesus. You know, why have you treated us like this? And Kath read it in a very calm voice. Why have you treated us like this? You know, did you not know that we were looking for you? I think it was probably a bit more like this. Why have you treated us like this? You know, I can just imagine the reunion of a parent when they see their child when they've been missing for a little while. They usually get a telling off as well as great overflow of joy, don't they? But there was Jesus in the place that he was always meant to be, speaking with people about the word of God. He went home with them, and we're told he grew in wisdom. The writer to the Hebrews tells us, son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. Jesus had to learn. Overall, the Bible takes a positive view of education. It does recognize that people can train themselves in evil, and it distinguishes between so-called human wisdom and true wisdom. Here are some of these verses on the subject. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. John chapter 14, 25 to 26. Jesus is speaking. He says, all this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. Last couple of the verses there connected education, learning, with Christian discipleship. Disciple means learner. Jesus sent disciples to make more disciples and teach them to obey everything he commanded. Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit will remind us of all his teaching. One of the key things Jesus commanded was to love God and to love one another. You could say that that's at the core of everything that Jesus taught. We can see the breadth of the application of that as we look through the New Testament and the Gospels. As the Holy Spirit applies loving God and loving others to different situations. So loving God and loving others means feeding them. It means bringing teaching. It means bringing healing. In these different ways, Jesus demonstrated how to love God and how to love other people. Christians have been at the forefront of the provision of education to all. Schools which taught literacy as well as Bible knowledge. Christians set up universities and missions. Often, even now, they have education at the core of their activities. As you've heard about charities like Stand By Me, BMS, who continue that tradition. In the past, in my experience, education used to be the most common occupation among the Christians in the churches that I led. Some of you will probably remember times when it was like that as well. That was the most common occupation of Christians, particularly maybe in Baptist churches, I don't know. Increasingly, there have been real challenges for Christians in this sector. Our culture's moved away from a Christian ethos, and with new moralities and new taboos imposed, it's increasingly difficult for Christian teachers. I became a believer at university. And I'm really grateful to the UCCF, the Universities and Colleges Christian Fellowship, for their discipleship and the opportunities they gave to me in my earlier Christian life. My education in a comprehensive school lifted me out of the mining community that I would otherwise have been limited to. Today, many more adults remain in education until their 20s, and often this means they leave their homes and their communities never to return. There's a current debate about the place of exams and the overemphasis on academic achievement that they perhaps lead to. Well, as I've said, Christianity generally takes a positive view of learning, and we've heard that Jesus learnt and grew by asking great questions. Later, he was called teacher, with a capital T, and asked great questions. As disciples of the teacher, we're called to lifelong learning. It's a phrase that's often used in businesses and education these days. And that's why Bible teaching on Sundays and in small groups during the week remain core activities for us as a church. We're not a cult that seeks to keep people in ignorance. Rather, we encourage people to the truth. We believe that all truth is from God, which is why we believe that science and Christian faith work together. We also believe that linguistics and Christian faith work together, which is why the translation of the New Testament from the original Greek into the modern languages of the time during the Reformation was such a key and important step forward for the spread of the gospel, because people could start hearing the Bible in their own language. Organisations like Wycliffe Bible Translators continue that work of translating the Bible into people's mother tongue. I don't want to give the impression that Christians are alone in the belief in the importance of education. There have been times in history when Islam has encouraged education. There are also factions in all religions and atheistic systems which seek to maintain oppression by denying education to some. Today we see examples of that in Afghanistan, China, Nigeria. Well, through the 19th and 20th centuries, the secular culture in the West was modernism. This put its humanist faith in education and progress. Education was seen as being as important as clearing the slums and affordable healthcare. Education was put at the heart of the criminal justice system to reform as well as punish prisoners. Absolute trust was put in experts. Well, that belief got a serious damaging in the First and Second World Wars. It became horrifically clear that education alone does not change the human heart. The Nazi pursuit of knowledge without ethics led to humanity's darkest dead end. As we moved into the 21st century, what's called postmodern culture rejected those former certainties of progress and trust in experts. As well as the benefits of science and engineering have brought, the consequences of global warming, the failings of experts, have become all too apparent. Everyone's opinion was then considered equally important, however ignorant or ill-informed. Whilst the pandemics brought experts back to the centre stage, there's still a realisation that science alone does not have all the answers, especially when it comes to ethical questions. This is the distinction that the writer of Proverbs highlights between wisdom and knowledge. Just because we know how to do something does not mean you should do it. Particularly as our knowledge begins to enable us to end life and to start life, education needs to go beyond asking how to asking why. From asking what can we do to what should we do. As disciples, we all need to be lifelong learners. That requires humility. We can't learn when we think we already know all the answers. Equally, we need a maturity of faith, which means we're not blown here and there by every wind of teaching. we need to test everything and hold on to the good. Today, we're thinking about how education might be at the centre of a revival, how it might be caught up in that wave of revival. What would Holy Spirit change in our education system? Let's think about that for a moment in the schools and colleges and universities, in the homes, in our Sunday schools. What would Holy Spirit change in a wave of revival? How would research change? How would teaching of the least advantaged children change? Who might be inspired to change the hearts of a generation? So let's go on being learners. Let's pray for the Spirit to teach us all things and remind us of everything Jesus has to say to us. Let's pray for our contribution to education as a church, both for adults and children. Let's pray that we'll be able to get back into Burwell Village College, and for the teachers and children in our Sunday school. Let's pray for the wider education system as well, including mentoring and apprenticeship, as James referred to earlier. I'm going to invite James to lead us in a time of prayer, which seems to be the most appropriate way for us to respond. But let me just close this with a short prayer. Lord Jesus, just as we're singing that song of looking up into the night sky and you reaching down to us and us encountering you, that happened for me at university. Thank you that you met me there. Thank you for the ways that you've taught me and that I'm still learning every day. Lord, we offer you our hearts and our minds. And we pray, Lord, teach us your ways. Amen.